I invite you to remain standing for the reading of God's Word. It comes from Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. At the conclusion of the reading, I will invite our children once again for the end of this sermon series to join us at the front. So in just a moment, may we hear together God's Word. After we had reached safety, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire, when a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were expecting him to swell up or to drop dead, but after they had waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds, began to say that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were the lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. After this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They bestowed many honors on us. When we were about to sail, they put on board all the provisions we needed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This time I invite our children to gather here at the center of our chancel area, altar rear. Right here, sit right there. All right. Do we have other friends joining us for the sermon? I hope so. They may make their journey as we pray. All right, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place and this time right now, that together, our children and all of our folk of all ages may receive your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week, we were in Acts chapter 27. Do you remember the storm? The storm was blowing us from one side to the other. It blew. Come on down, brother. Right down here, Morris. Right here. This storm was blowing us from one place to the other. It blew us off course. It was as though we were focused on one place, getting to one place. And the storm had knocked us way off course. I'm so glad you're here. Just as you are all here in this boat, let me see your eyes, this boat that was overtaken by the storm, that no one in the boat perished in the midst of the storm. As this ship would get closer to the ground, to the land, Paul had said, everyone who can swim to jump overboard and to go swimming to the land. Raise your hands if you can swim, all right? You all can do a lot better than these folks. There's a lot of non-swimmers out there. And if they couldn't swim, they were to grab a hold of a part of the ship and to float to safety. Clap your hands with me. The ship hit the rocks. And the ship began to break up. And folks grabbed a hold of the wood. And all of them traveled in verse 1 of chapter 28 to safety in an island called Malta. Say that with me. Malta. It's about as close to Sicily off the boot of Italy as Cuba is to Florida. They arrived that morning. It had been raining. They were cold. They were wet. They were hungry. Hold your bellies. Oh, they were hungry. Though in Greek it's the word for barbarian, we've translated to soften that a little bit as natives, but the natives of Malta, who could understand, they showed incredible hospitality to Paul, to the soldiers, the centurion, the sailors, to the other prisoners. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much land you own. It doesn't matter how much power in your life you have. But when your ship crashes against the rock, no matter who you are, when you're all out there swimming, when you're grabbing a hold of the wood for life, you are in it just like everybody else. Doesn't matter who you are. There are these moments in life that bring us to our knees. It doesn't matter who you are in this life. There are these moments that bring us humbly before God. This word, humble, humility, comes from the Latin. You didn't know you were going to learn Latin in this sermon, did you? Children's message, Latin lesson, humus. It means to be grounded, to be grounded. Yesterday, we had a sweet funeral for a dear lady. She was the organist for this church for 50 years, for more than 50 years. And she would only miss one Sunday a year, maybe two, but if you do the math, for 50 Sundays a year, for 50 years, you have over 2,500 sermons you've listened to. Now, that's a lot of preaching. She had been here so long that Marilyn was here when the pieces of this organ lay between the aisles of three sections of pews right behind you. I loved hearing the story that her daughters, you see those little ones at the top? They represent like flutes and woodwinds. You can pick them up, and if they were on the ground, you could blow in them and they would make a sound. There's a reed inside and it vibrates in it. It's a beautiful sound. I was kind of humbled in that service and remembrance about a sister's commitment, a sister that she had worked here for over 50 years. That's commitment. There are very few people in our world today that would work at the same place for over 50 years. I wanted to tell you that story because in this story with Paul, Paul had not expected to end up in Malta. Paul had not expected to be on a ship that would be blown way off course. Paul, he was committed. His one job, his life, after his experience with Jesus, was to be committed to one thing. And that was the good news of Jesus Christ for the Jew first and for the Gentile. That everybody, no matter who you were, no matter where your home was, that you should be able to come to know Jesus. And Paul would, even in the midst of a shipwreck, you can imagine he was listening for God. He'd been visited by an angel, and he spoke with the authority of God when people would try to do something else that God didn't want. Paul, like all the others, Paul, this prisoner on his way to Rome, Paul was gathered with these others from the shipwreck there on the island of Malta, and the natives had built a fire and showed hospitality in verse 2. Imagine a fire right here with rocks and wood. Fire. Warm your hands, since some early service folks said it was cold in here. All right. You said that, right? Paul goes to get some wood from the side, and he's picking up the wood, and he throws it down on the fire, and out came a viper in verse 3 and bit his hand. Oh, look, there's a snake. It's not real, not real, not real. It bites Paul's hand. Paul quickly takes his hand over the fire, and the flames of the fire heat up the serpent, and he lets go and falls down into the fire. The natives who see this happen, they had the biggest eyes when they had saw all these folks who had been shipwrecked. Let me see your eyes. They had been shipwrecked, and the natives see them and see that it must be God's favor on them that they would survive the shipwreck. Oh my. But once they saw the serpent that bit his hand, do this. Anybody ever do this to you? What does that mean? No. Mm-mm. They said, Paul, you may have survived this shipwreck, but Lady Justice, not in the same sense of the American form of Lady Justice, but in the form of the Greek goddess Lady Justice, was working her vengeance upon Paul. He must have been a murderer to be bitten by a viper, to survive a shipwreck, but to be bitten by a snake. You're not going to get through this world like that. Some may even call it karma. I want to tell you, in the church as a pastor, there are these moments when you hear all kinds of different belief systems kind of infiltrate the church and the way that we see the world. You don't have to be in some other country or belong to another religious sect of the world, but we are all susceptible, or we all can let things enter into our faith systems. Sometimes even in the church, I know you don't believe this, but even in the church, when something bad happens to someone, we can shake our finger at people and think, oh, that's just karma. They're getting what they deserve. But that's not faith in Christ. That's not how Christ works. You see, none of us really get what we deserve. We live lives based on God's grace, and there's not a one of us who really gets what we deserve because of God's love. Paul, in that moment, they expected his hand to begin to swell. Here, do this with me. They expected his hands to swell. It even says in Acts chapter 28, they expected him to drop dead. Don't try that out. Okay, don't try that out. But they were keeping their eyes on him. Point to your eyes. They were watching Paul. Morris. They were watching Paul to see what would happen to him. I heard that. Yeah, there are all kinds of things that could happen. In verse 7, 8, and 9, Publius, here on this island of Malta, this island of the natives, this Publius, who has a Roman name, so we know that likely he was a Roman citizen, that his daddy was sick. Have your parents ever been sick? Publius's father was very sick. It says that he had fever and dysentery. Some scholars reflect on this island and this description and wonder, perhaps Publius's father had malaria. He was very sick. The same Paul who had been bitten by a snake but did not die. The same Paul who had been shipwrecked with the centurion, the sailors, and all the soldiers who did not die. Spent 3 days in the court of Publius, and he learns that Publius' father is very sick, and he goes up to him. Ellie, could I bring my hand and touch you on the head? All right. And Paul goes up to Publius' father, and he lays his hand. There is no Jewish tradition for laying all the hands for the sick. This isn't in following the way of Christ. Paul lays his hands on him and prays for him to receive healing in the name of Jesus. He prays for him in the name of Jesus. And Publius' dad, the most powerful official in all of Malta, his dad, by the prayer of Paul, not by the strength of Paul's character, not by the intellect of Paul, but because the Holy Spirit was working to direct Paul to the man who needed healing the most on that island, Paul lays his hand on him, and that daddy got better. He got so well that all of the people on Malta, now let me see your eyes again, they saw what happened to Publius' dad, and they said, you know, I'm sick. I need that. And so it says that every person on that island who was not well found their way to Paul. Say that with me, Paul. And he prayed for them and cured them all. Verse 10, they were so overcome with the experience of being with Jesus living in through Paul, it says that they brought all the provisions that they needed and loaded their next boat. In verse 11, which we didn't read, 3 months later, they will leave. If you live with someone for 3 months, you're going to get to know their story. And in this story of Jesus living and breathing through Paul, they would have received the word of the gospel living in Paul. The people in your life are going to receive the gospel. Morris? They're going to receive the gospel and the way you live your life, the way you live yours and yours and yours, and Miss Lexi and all of the disciples here in this place, and how we live out the gospel. We are ambassadors for Jesus. And there's not a one of us who should think too highly of our own selves. I've been humbled many times in my life. One of the funniest stories is when I was a senior in high school. It was October of 1996. You're supposed to act like you haven't heard this story before. She was at early service. It was October 1996. It was homecoming at Dixon County High School. Homecoming in Dixon meant that schools were called off half a day because of homecoming. We would begin the day with pep rallies. There would be a parade. And that night, there was a cool rain that had fallen on the football field. We, as the marching band had come, and I was the drum major my senior year and field commander. Can I see that? Yes. I want your attention. All right. Thank you. Yes. And I was the field commander, and there on the field, I had been conducting, and I was overcome with the emotions of one of the largest crowds at the football stadium I'd ever seen. The other field commander and I switched places on the main podium, and I'd come down the steps, and my job was to quickly march to the 30-yard line to be able to conduct an ensemble off to the side. There I was in my white shoes, white pants, my white jacket with blue and orange sequins in the center, and I put down my foot on the 30-yard line, and my foot did not stop. It elevated up into the air. And there down I went in front of the largest crowd at Dixon County High School, which fortunately is only captured on VHS, and none of you have VCRs. You've got one. And it looked like I had fallen on the oldest, darkest brown banana you could ever imagine. Now, that the test came when that was over in that moment. Do I run off the football field crying of embarrassment? Or, oh, yeah, oh, what, what?
No, no,
no, no, no, no. What do you do? What do you do? You brush yourself off. You keep up. You keep with it. Paul never imagined to go to Malta, but God's way of shaping his story, he would be there and he would make a difference in people's lives. Even in the moments of our humility, of being grounded, those are moments that God, too, is still able to use to redeem our story and to make something of who we are in those moments. The theme of Kids Camp, and we shared it last week and we're talking about it today, is that Jesus' power pulls us through, right? And no matter where you are, just like in the story of Paul, it is the power of Jesus that pulled Paul through, that pulled through Publius' dad, who pulled through all those who were sick in Malta, those who were sick not physically but of the soul, who heard the gospel. For us today, it is this power of God that is singing through our stories. And I want to end with singing just a verse or two of a hymn that's in our hymnal from 1974. By the way, Miss Marilyn, she was in the Jesus movement, one of the leaders of a choir of youth of this church, took the choir to all kinds of places to sing, perhaps even this song, remembered as Pope John Paul II's favorite hymn. Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. Oh, Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas. Let us pray. Oh God, you know our story. You know the storms that we will face. May the power and the strength of your Spirit living and breathing within all of us give us the strength to remember that it is your power that pulls us through. Be with this church, be with this congregation gathered today, that when we leave this place, that we have not left behind faith, but that we will carry it to every place, the seas unknown of our future, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray.